Hey everybody, welcome to the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm one of your hosts, Hiro TJ, and I'm here with my increasingly fit friend, Amiibo Jason.
I'm getting there. Not quite at your levels yet.
But you're actually, by game standards, you're considerably leveled beyond me.
By life standards, you're a bit further along than I am. I've seen the photos, TJ. My wife has seen the photos, TJ.
I think that the game has... It's finally come out in Taiwan, so yeah. I'm a little bit behind the curve on it, but I'm trying to play catch-up. And I have to admit, I am really impressed at how classic the exercises are and how well they integrate them into the game. Yeah. And how the way that the game is designed on every level, from not only the on-screen tips to enable you to be able to perform the exercise in a way that's going to be, I guess, ensuring proper form so that you're not hurting yourself, so that yeah. you're actually using it to improve. And also the way that it integrates with the HD Rumble so that you can have some sort of feedback from the game so that you know when you're hitting that sweet spot with the exercise. And then also all the on-screen visual and audio cues and all of that working together really helps to enhance the workout experience. I'm finding that these exercises are things that I've been performing since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
These are really common Taekwondo conditioning exercises, gymnastics conditioning exercises. Yeah. I'm sure that they cross into all manner of different sports. The ring itself is a Pilates ring, so people are probably familiar with a lot of what you do in terms of the actual workout. But the way that the game integrates it is on such a whole nother level. It's hard to go back, I think, to working out without having all of these other enhancements to really bolster the experience.
So, and I promise, folks, this is not going to turn into a Ring Fit-centric podcast. It's still fun to talk about, for sure. So,
it's an ongoing thing for us.
It is, for both of us, for sure. This is one thing I know that we're doing at the same time, even though we're on opposite ends of the world at the moment. But I see the game differently, at least to a certain degree. I think it's, like, in the same respect, I think that the way that these exercises are presented, it's presented in a way where you feel like you're working, but at the same time, you don't really feel like you're working. And for a lot of people, myself included, it's needed. Like, I need that kind of, like, extra push to get me to work out. But oddly enough, you said it, you might have a hard time going back to a traditional workout after this. For me, this game is pushing me into going back to the gym or doing workouts outside of this, because I feel so good doing these workouts and I want to see the progress. I want to see either A, more weight loss or more muscle gained or just more definition or tone on my body. And I know this game can't do all of that, but it's a good starting place. So I still
I would argue that it probably can.
Yeah, it probably could, just not to the degree where I want a little bit more diversity when it comes to like weight and things like that. However, I still use this thing every single day, but it's motivating me to do additional workouts on top of it.
Which I think that's fantastic.
I think WeFit did the same thing, where I lost most of my weight because WeFit was there to remind me to work out. It showed me visually what I needed to do. And it also pushed me to go to the gym and start eating right. I just want to point out, for those of you who think that Ring Fit is going to just make you a different person, you need to have the motivation to do other things on top of Ring Fit. So if you're going to do this, you have to eat healthy. You have to consider the lifestyle that you want to live from an activity standpoint. Like, you might want to go for a run or a jog. But I think eating healthy is going to be the next big thing that you're going to need to try to get over if you're going to want to see any kind of major improvements with this program. But I'm having a blast with it. Today is my 20th day, by the way.
Wow.
So it's day 20. I haven't done it yet.
Congratulations.
So it's 9 o'clock here in Wisconsin, and I have yet to fire the game up. It's been a very, very busy evening. So right after this is done, I'm running upstairs. I'm going to start the workout, and I'm going to finish my day 20. But man, oh man, what a game.
That's also the plan for me. As soon as we're done recording, I'm going to train as well. Except for me, it's 9 in the morning. So
see, that makes more sense.
But back to what you said before about how the game can't do everything. There's this old training adage where the battle is fought in the gym, but the war is won in the kitchen. And I think that there's a lot more truth to that than people think. 80% of what your body is what you eat. And then 20% of what your body is what you do. Yeah. So there's certainly a lot that you can influence with your level of physical activity, specifically when it comes to conditioning yourself for a specific task. Like if you want to get better at performing a squat, for example, there's no better thing that you can do than a squat. But what Ring Fit really has over Wii Fit, which is a game that I also loved just like you, and I did it every day, and I did it for years. Yeah. I even used it as my competition scale for Taekwondo.
That was a good scale.
It was so good. It was because it's four scales. Yeah. Four scales put together. So it's more accurate than the scales that I actually weighed in on at competitions. But while it was a lot of fun, it had the limitation of you really being pinned into that foot and a half space in order to utilize the technology, where Ring Fit, not only do you, by strapping it to your leg, you have the ability to move anywhere within proximity of the switch. And then also by having the ring, you have increased resistance, which is something that Wii Fit wasn't able to provide. Man, and by combining those two things, it gives you so many different ways that you can interact in a creative way with the game. Some of these mini games are phenomenal. Yeah. I can't really say enough good things about it. Now, they're speaking my language. I love this kind of stuff. And so gamifying the tasks that I perform on a daily basis anyway is going to be something that appeals to me.
Yeah.
But I'm just so enamored of the creativity. So, and I would have loved to be in those rooms where they're discussing, hey, you know, I really want somebody to be able to train this muscle group. How can we implement this as an in-game activity?
Yeah.
And they found so many different ways. And every time I start to feel like, okay, I got this. I now understand where they're going. They flip the script on me and they throw in some new mechanic. Now, I'm not as far along as you. I'm probably on the fourth world, partway through it.
Yeah.
And I've unlocked a lot of exercises. So I've had to swap out some of my exercises so far.
Yeah.
I did pick the hardest difficulty level. And then even after that, I pushed it all the way up to level 30 because I really wanted to get through the game slowly. And you were right that you do have to perform a lot of reps. After the first day, I was pretty sore. And at first I was starting to feel bad about it because it's like, I was like, maybe my usual training hasn't been cutting it. Maybe I haven't been pushing myself hard enough. And then as the game started to give me some of my stats, they were like, congratulations, you just performed 200 squats.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, that's considerably more than I do in a normal day. So yeah, okay. It's good that I was sore. It was able to actually make me exceed myself, which I think is the idea of improvement. Your body can perform a whole manner of different tasks, and it can go well beyond what we normally impose upon it, but we don't normally do that. So by it exposing me to an exercise that's familiar, but encouraging me to have far more time under tension than I normally do, it's already started to challenge me to increase new levels than throughout my normal training routine, which I would consider to be fairly rigorous.
And at this point, like, the bane of my existence in this game are the overhead wide squats, I think they're called. So you have to take the ring con, put it above your head, and then do a wide squat. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm on level 30. And for each set, I think it's 32 squats for one kind of attack round.
That's a lot.
I've gotten to points in battles where I'm like, okay, this is definitely the best move for me to win, but I don't know if I can do this again.
Oh, and that has happened to me too. Not with that exercise. I've had to struggle
with it for sure. But there's certain other things. I do have one complaint about the game. And that is there's kind of a move in it called the hip shake. I don't know if you've unlocked the hip shake yet.
I don't have that, no.
You essentially just move your butt back and forth. But it's like one of the most powerful attacks in the game.
Mm.
And there are many, many cases where I'm like, okay, I want a really good workout today. And if I want to go through the game in the way that it wants me to, I have to use the hip shake all the time, and I feel like no workout benefits from it whatsoever. I feel like an idiot doing it. Like, I'm just shaking my booty back and forth, which is just, that's kind of funny in its own right. But sometimes I want a workout that's more like my speed. And like, sure. I want to do something that I want to do and not necessarily like have to match the colors to beat these guys. And I understand that's the point of the game. I would have liked to see this game a little bit more robust, where I could earn items and I could earn like ingredients by setting up my own workout. And just get stuff that way without having to go through the story mode and like having to do the predetermined things. But I am finding myself just doing the standard workouts outside of the adventure mode much more frequently now that I'm 20 days into this, where I'm like, okay, I just went through 40 minutes of this adventure mode. I really want to sweat now. So I'm going to go to the dojo and I'm just going to do arm workouts, or I'm just going to do chest workouts, or I'm going to do what's the word I'm looking for? The ones where you're just kind of running in place, the ones that cardio. Really, really get, yeah, just straight cardio, endurance is what the word I was looking for. So, I mean, I'm finding myself in the dojo much more now that I'm getting more familiar and comfortable with this game, and I'm getting just more accustomed to the idea of working out more on like a regular basis. But that's a good testament to the game itself. Like, it got me to that point where I want to do more and I want to be challenged more. So I'm very, very grateful to this game for getting me out of my kind of rut of not working out for a while, because it's really making me feel good about myself.
That's awesome. I hope that you're taking progress pictures, because
I'm not.
Well, take one now. I should. Because you still have another 40 days. And in 40 days' time, it's encouraging to see the way that your body changes. And it sounds like you're doing more than just relying on this game to be some magic recipe for fitness, but you're doing it with consistency. And I would say, like, fad diets are such a huge thing, and fad workouts are such a huge thing. I've been surrounded by the fitness world for a long time. I lived in LA. A lot of my friends were personal trainers. The bottom line is, every diet works. Every exercise routine works. It's as simple as you committing to it. You're going to lose weight if you're at a calorie deficit, period. Doesn't matter what you're eating. If you're at a calorie deficit, you're going to lose weight. If you're at a calorie surplus, you're going to gain weight. Any diet, period. It's like simple math. Then with your workout, if you're walking every day for 20 minutes, every day you do that, then you're going to see results. If you're in the gym lifting weights, maybe not every day, because you do want to give your body a little bit of rest if you're doing a heavy load. But the point is, if you can find something that you can stick with, then you're going to see results. So you want to like literally see those results. So I'm really curious to see how this measures up against my usual training. So I've replaced what I would normally do within a day. So I usually spend maybe, it's been about between 45 minutes and a couple hours on Wii Fit. I keep calling it Wii Fit.
Me too. Ring Fit.
I'm kind of just using myself as a beta test to see what kind of results I can produce with it in my own body.
Yeah.
So you saw like my first pick. That's like my starting day. So I'll probably take it.
That makes me feel so crappy. That's your starting day. Oh man.
I've got
this is my starting day. Greek god.
Man, how do we even respond to that? Well, thank you.
I don't know. It's a compliment.
Thank you.
I'm hoping to improve. I want to see what my starting day was, by the way. My starting day was not pretty. I'm 7 pounds down at the moment, which is
that's amazing.
A testament to its own, you know, success. I mean, this system is, it works. It really does. I'm definitely watching what I'm eating. So like you said before, the calorie deficit. So I've been down this road more than once before. There are certain things I need to keep out of my diet. You might notice I'm drinking out of a McDonald's cup. This is a Diet Coke. I only got a Diet Coke at McDonald's. So before you put anything in the comments that he's drinking McDonald's soda, there's no calories. I know soda's still not the best thing for me, but it is what it is. There are certain things I would like to do better. I want to cut fried food out completely, and it's tough. And besides that, I think that's just the hardest thing for me. It's just no more like prepackaged like breaded chicken and stuff like that. But as far as calories go, I'm way under what I'm supposed to be at. I'm not starving myself in any capacity, but I definitely know what I'm doing as far as the what I need and what I don't. So,
as evidenced by the 7 pound weight loss.
Yeah, 7 pounds like, in 20 days. I think that's
pretty good.
Yeah, it's decent. Like I started at 168, so I'm 161 at the moment. So I'm pretty happy with that. I want to get to 155. That's my overall goal. So we'll see how we go. But I'll tell you one more thing though. I feel like I'm putting a lot more muscle on with this too. Like I feel muscles in places I haven't felt muscles in a long time. I really do. Yeah. I feel like this is really pushing me in that direction too.
That's actually the biggest difference that I've noticed also is between my typical training and this is the time under tension is so protracted. Yeah. Like you have such a long period of time where your muscles are experiencing the moment of fatigue. Usually my workouts are a little bit more explosive action.
Yeah.
I'm in a striking discipline. So you usually have very fast movements and there are exercises that use very fast movements, but there's also some where you are holding a position for so long and your arms are burning or your legs are burning.
Oh, it's mostly my legs. It's the squats.
I have to say that my spot that usually fatigues the fastest are my arms. Yeah. I have the tension set pretty high, but when I'm pushing that thing in and I'm holding it forever, or I'm pulling that thing out and I'm holding it forever, I feel my biceps burning. I feel my triceps burning. I feel my deltoids like,
yeah,
ready to just rip out of my arms. And it's a great sensation. I really feel good about it. But like the load that my legs can carry is substantially more than my arms can within the course of what the game has presented to me. And I haven't really gone outside of the path of what the game has suggested. And maybe once I get to day 20, I'll start to feel like my physical needs are not being met. But right now, I'm still getting new exercises thrown at me constantly, and I'm trying to shuffle them into the game to see what's going to get me through. And my takeaway at this point, I think today's going to be my sixth day, is I wish that every turn-based RPG had this in it. I would play nothing but turn-based RPGs if I could physically be a part of it. Because it's not just that I just want an excuse to work out. I do like working out. It's that they have found a way to bring the game to a whole nother level. Now it's not just, can I tap this button combination? It's not just, can I strategize in a way that's going to be able to let me defeat this boss within my move limit? It's, do I physically have what it takes? Can I've had to customize my, or alternate my battle strategy based on what I physically felt I was capable of doing. And that's exactly what I hoped for this game, where I knew what the best move to use was, but I also knew that I physically could not complete it. I was too fatigued to perform that particular exercise. So I needed to pace myself. So I used an exercise of a different muscle group to buy myself a little bit of time to recover a little bit so that the next round I could use the move that I felt was more effective. And
that's really everything. Just wait until you unlock the booty shaking. You're going to love that. That's a nice break.
I think that one's going to come natural to me. Yeah.
Oh, I think so too. But there you go. There's your weekly updates with what we're doing with Ring Fit Adventure. Obviously, we still love it. I'm going to be doing this for a bare minimum of 60 days. I'd like to do it more. I don't see myself stopping. I think the biggest thing is what the progress is going to be. I'll take some progress pictures, TJ. And
You should. I think it'll be a good thing to have.
We'll see how that goes. But now we have to talk about kind of the big thing that happened today. We had a 45-minute Sakurai-filled Super Smash Brothers Ultimate day, starring Terry Bogard coming to Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Not coming. He's now officially in
the
game.
He's here, Have you played it yet with him?
I have not. I've had no time. So this thing aired at 7 a.m., so I watched it. I got my daughter to school. I went to work. I got home. I had dinner. I had to get a bunch of other stuff done. I played Luigi's Mansion with my daughter for a little bit today. And now I'm podcasting, so I have not gamed whatsoever today. So absolutely nothing. I'm excited to try it out. I think everything about any of the Smash DLC fighters is still exciting for me. Knowing that he's going to hopefully get an amiibo sometime soon, too, makes me excited. But we also did get other confirmation today outside of this that the last two non-DLC amiibo were finally confirmed to be coming on January 17th. So that's Dark Samus and Richter Belmont. I think you're probably more excited for Richter than anything else.
I think Dark Samus is one of the best-looking amiibo that I've seen.
I think so, too, for sure.
So far. Richter Belmont is an amiibo I'm happy to have, but a character who I've never played a single game.
So you're more in this Simon, I'm assuming.
I'm Simon. I'm old school. I played the original three. The third one, obviously, features not Simon. Trevor is from the third one. But then when you go back to the fourth one, you're Simon again.
And where does Richter come in? Is he in Dracula X?
I think he's from Rondo of Blood.
Okay.
The game that he's from did not release. And now I might be wrong about this. People in the comment section can correct me. I don't believe that his game released in the States outside of Virtual Console.
Wasn't Rondo of Blood, wasn't that like a CD Turbo game or something like that? Turbo Express? I can't remember the console that it came out on. I thought it was like something weird like a TurboGrafx-16 or a Turbo CD.
I really couldn't say for sure, but I know that when it originally released, it was not stateside, so we didn't really have the opportunity to play it.
It was
eventually released on Virtual Console, I think on the Wii, or it could have been the Wii U.
Yeah.
But then he was also a story point in another game where I don't believe he was playable, but he did impact the story in that one. So he's present in at least two titles.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's in Smash. I think it's super cool. He's influenced the moveset and expanded Simon's arsenal as far as Smash is concerned. And Simon Belmont, as anybody who's familiar with me over the past few years knows, he was my ballot choice for the Smash ballot, and I've been pushing for him for a long time. He was the last holdout from the classic NES collection for me to complete that set of Smash characters.
So you've got to be excited that we're a week away from Simon Belmont amiibo. You might be able to stroll into one of those shady game stores and buy it early, based on what I've heard before.
I might. That's a possibility.
You should go do that, man.
I might try that. I did pre-order all of them from Best Buy in America a while back.
Yeah.
So I think I might have to at least pick up a Taiwanese Simon.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know if I could wait until I get back to America to be able to start.
Man,
whipping around with that guy.
It's crazy to me, though, that we're finally at the end of the non-DLC fighters. It's more crazy to me that we have not even been teased yet with a DLC fighter amiibo. I mean, we have Joker, we have Hero, we have Banjo-Kazooie. I mean, obviously now we have Terry. I'm missing one. Who's the other one I'm missing? Am I missing somebody?
No, you said them all. Piranha Plant, but we did already get an amiibo of him. So we have Joker, Hero.
Yeah.
Banjo and then Terry.
And then I'm more excited about Hero than anything at this point. I'm
curious about Hero. Are we going to get that 4-pack? Because I want it so bad.
I don't think it's going to happen. I want it to happen.
We talked about it last time.
Because I want Edric more than anything. And I check the other podcast out because we've already discussed this. I don't want to beat a dead horse on this one, but the more I think about it, the more I think Nintendo's not going to do it. It still scares me that they haven't confirmed that they're coming. Even though I know that the chances of them not coming are very slim, but I'm still semi-concerned it might not happen. But again, we've talked about this. I'll get past it eventually.
It would be straight up weird. I'm sure you'll get past it soon, because now that they've run out of other amiibo talking points, it's going to have to come up sooner or later.
So we should... I'm guessing we're getting a Nintendo Direct in November. I mean, historically, we've had a November Nintendo Direct. I mean, we have Animal Crossing New Horizons coming out in March. So I'm guessing we're going to get more info on that relatively soon.
We definitely need a holiday Direct, because I think it's important for Nintendo to get their message out ahead of the holiday season so people know what they have to look forward to, so that they can advertise the things that are going to be available, so the kids can start putting them on their Christmas lists, and so the parents can start getting some ideas about what they want to put under the tree.
So if there's no mention of new amiibo in the next Direct, then I'm going to start getting concerned. But I mean, at this point, like I said before, January 17th, the very last non-DLC fighters are finally getting the amiibo. It's going to be kind of a long wait then, I guess, until we start getting these DLC fighters. I mean, I can't wait. I really can't. God, Banjo is going to be just amazing when that finally happens. But besides that, I mean, do you have any, like, strong thoughts on Terry?
Yeah, I
mean,
SNK I did get to play
series, so.
I watched the direct at 9 p.m. Sure. out here. So after it was over, I started downloading it, and it said 7 hours until it would all be there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Fortunately, I have the fastest internet in the world. I have like 1,000 down, but Nintendo doesn't know how to really like utilize that bandwidth. But yeah. in any event, I got it probably like by midnight.
Sure.
And I did play through classic mode with Terry. He felt just like playing one of those classic 90s fighting game characters.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the direct, the presentation from Sakurai a lot. And I found myself speculating along with everybody else beforehand, how could this take 45 minutes? This is like the longest Smash Direct ever.
Because he's a fanboy. And that's what I loved about this presentation.
Totally, totally. His love for Fatal Fury and King of Fighters shone through, and it was, frankly, perfectly charming.
He was glowing through all of this.
I think that it was so long because he really wanted to make the case for Terry. He really wanted people to know why this character was important, why this character was significant, their history with the franchise, and he wanted to show how fun it could be. He literally did a classic mode playthrough. I could not believe it. I could not believe that he did that. And not only is the guy amazing at the game, but he really found a way to play it in an exciting way. He didn't even just like play for efficiency, he played for entertainment value.
I'm like, this is I was actually joking with my team this morning during the event. I'm like, this is what Sakurai would be like if he was a Twitch streamer. Like, he's just he's entertaining the audience, he's playing the game, he's doing a great job. But it's crazy to me that you have games like Final Fantasy VII with Cloud coming to with Cloud and Smash Bros, and we have one song from the Final Fantasy franchise, Make It Over, from a wide, massive selection of amazing Final Fantasy music, we get one song. And this, we get 50
that is
SNK
so,
songs. It's insane.
It's so unbelievable that I had to really reflect on it for it to really, to put it into perspective. The only other franchise that has that many songs in the entire game, I believe, is Mario.
Yeah.
Like, that's more songs than Zelda, that's more songs than Donkey Kong, it's more songs than any other video game franchise represented in Smash. That is just an asinine figure. And that, like he said, it raises the value of the game. It sure does. It sure does raise the value of the game to have all of that music in there. I use Smash more than anything as a music player.
Yeah.
And it's just because I can do so many other things. And because all of the music in Smash Brothers doesn't have lyrics, well, a few songs do, I can do my other work. So I'm going about my day doing other things, and I'm hearing all these songs that I love from the history of gaming, from the first game that I ever heard all the way up to modern day.
Yeah.
It's such an eclectic collection that you can listen to for a day and a half and not hear the same song twice.
And you might not know this. I'm a massive Neo Geo fan, like a big Neo Geo fan. I'm working on getting a Neo Geo cabinet. That being said, I have a Neo Geo Mini right now, and there's so many just amazing classic games on there, and the music is fantastic. Metal Slug is my favorite kind of side-scrolling, arcade running and gunning type game. So just the idea that there's so much amazing music on this one tiny piece of DLC is just, again, a testament to Sakurai's just amazing ability to make this game just stand out. It's so good. And then we get even more Mii Fighters, too. Virtual Fighter Mii Fighters, which is really
cool. Have you tapped into any of these Mii Fighters yet? Have you purchased any of these costumes?
I'm going to purchase all of them eventually. I haven't even had the opportunity whatsoever to turn my Switch on as much as I'd want to. But as soon as I can, I'm going to.
I finally just did. I don't use any of them because I really love the class. I did on the Wii U. Yeah. I used all those Mii Fighter costumes. I haven't really had much occasion to, but I buy them because I want Nintendo to know that I believe in what they're doing, and I want to see these Mii fighters continue to be supported.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to speak with my wallet where I can. It's 75 cents a pop, so it's
and that's too much, that too is big of an a investment. Steal. It really is.
Seriously.
So you'd think that they'd round it up to a buck, but no, 75 cents. I mean, not a bad deal whatsoever for, I know it's cosmetic, but the game already offers so much, and I'm kind of anti-microtransactions to a certain degree, but this is just purely cosmetic fun. It's super cheap. I mean, they're not nickeling and diming you like a lot of companies do, so I'm pretty happy about that. But
yeah,
I'm excited.
And the Fighter's Pass is, I think people complain about it because when you consider how many fighters are in the base game and then how many you're getting for the Fighter's Pass, it almost seems like a financial imbalance.
Yeah.
But I don't really look at it that way. I think that it's more than getting your money's worth.
The value I think so
that they're
too.
Providing with these characters. And I hope that they can justify carrying it on for several years. I hope that this never stops.
I mean, they said they're doing another one every time. After this. It's not a Fighter's Pass specifically, but they said they're doing another DLC pack.
Sure. So I'm curious to see how that's going to take shape. And I'm a little surprised that they didn't announce the next fighter. But I can see why.
It's going to be in the next Direct, I'm sure. It's going to be the last one. Maybe it's going to be Waluigi, finally. Even though I still have a feeling it's going to be all third party.
I think so, too. I don't think we're going to see a Nintendo character in this. There's a few ideas. Like, there's a lot of buzz for characters like
Doomslayer.
Doomguy. Yeah, and Crash Bandicoot. And
Geno.
Out of those three, I think Crash would be the biggest showstopper.
I'd want to see Crash more than anything. I mean,
me too, because then you could have Sonic, Mario, and Crash fight each other, and that's like a 90 kids dream. That would be amazing.
Absolutely. And I mean, what, Activision owns it at this point, so there's no reason why Crash wouldn't make his way into this game. I feel like it's got to be something that they've discussed. I mean,
because this is the last one. Like, who could be a bigger... Who could really like send this home? Who could really like round this out and give you the sense that this is a complete
Bubsy?
that Gecko?
No. Bubsy's a cat.
No, oh, Gex. No, I know. Gex. I know.
Are you Gex? Gex?
I'm making an alternate suggestion.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, Bubsy would be good. He's right up there with Gex, in my opinion.
I'd prefer Conker than any. Honestly, I'd die if it was Conker. Conker is...
That would be pretty cool.
He is my most beloved character. However, he has very, very few games. And the one game that he's most known for is incredibly dirty. I mean, granted, Bayonetta, still. But I feel like Conker is still a big semi-mascot for Nintendo, at least for Rare. But
in
I think Banjo's going to be
how
it.
Banjo was, right. I think that the only character that could really... like drop my jaw at this point.
Yeah.
It would be a Mortal Kombat rep. Like if we could get Scorpion or Sub-Zero or somebody like that. Seeing Sakurai really just gush over how much he loved Terry.
Yeah.
It really made me feel a lot closer of a connection to this character than I did before. We touched briefly about how, even though I love the Fighter's Pass, happy to drop the cash, happy to get these characters in the game, thrilled that they're all in there. I have no personal connection to Joker. I've never played Persona. I have no personal connection to Hero. I've never played any Dragon Quest game. I have no personal connection to Banjo. I've never played any Banjo-Kazooie game. I have played Fatal Fury and King of Fighters in the 90s, back when you didn't really... buying games was a rare occasion.
Yeah.
Like, my weekends were usually renting games. And I did rent that game a few times. I was a big fighting game fan. I loved Street Fighter. I loved Mortal Kombat. I played every single fighting game that I could get my hands on at least once. And there was one line that Sakurai said that really did speak to me, where he said a lot of people had the impression that King of Fighters was like a copy of Street Fighter. And I did think when I played that game that it was... like a Street Fighter clone. I had total Street Fighter vibes. The pixel art looked like the Street Fighter characters. The game played like Street Fighter. And then come to find that that's not an accident. The game was kind of started as a sequel to the original Street Fighter. They just went branching paths. So whereas was one route, we got Street Fighter 2, which lasted forever and had about, I think the actual number is 1,015 different iterations.
That sounds about
right.
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating, but it just goes on and on. And then the other route, you got Fatal Fury and King of Fighters. One thing that he brought me back to was immediately walking through that shelf in the 90s as a 10-year-old kid, seeing all these games, and I could have never named Terry. You could have given me a million guesses and I never would have guessed his name, but I could have told you he was from King of Fighters or Fatal Fury.
Yeah.
I conflate those two titles in my head because I wasn't really sure what the relationship was, but I knew that they had crossover characters. I'm still not 100% clear on how they go. I know that characters from one game are up here in the other, and I do understand that
King of Fighters
is the tournament from Fatal Fury. So it is a little bit tricky the way that they relate to each other. For me, I'm sure people who are fans of the series and who have followed it over the years, it's clear as day.
Yeah.
It can't be more convoluted than Street Fighter II, Street Fighter II Turbo, Super Street Fighter II, Super Street Fighter II Turbo, Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting. The list goes on. But him being able to do that for me and make me feel like a 10-year-old boy again, watching him act like a 10-year-old boy with this game that he loves so much, that it's made me wish that we don't even go back to this format where we have these heavily produced Smash reveals. Because in all of those, it gave me a very different sense of what Mr. Sakurai's personality was like.
Oh, yeah.
He's very stoic and very professional when he's delivering these scripted responses, but he is a very clever, witty, quick, humorous, playful personality when he gets to display his personality.
Yeah.
And that really just has a whole lot of charm to it. So out of all of these four characters, I think maybe the one that resonates the most closely and personally with me is Terry, because it does, even though I don't have this strong connection to the series, it immediately puts me in a certain point in my life, and it immediately floods all those memories back, so that I have this nostalgic trigger with him that I don't have with any of them. And I think that is directly from being able to watch that 45-minute direct with Mr. Sakurai. I love that presentation format.
Yeah, I thought it was great, too. I mean, like I said before, I mean, I'm a big Neo Geo fan. I've never really been into King of Fighters or Fatal Fury. That being said, the fact that he is so happy and excited about it makes me more interested in checking it out. Like, just seeing, his initial thoughts and perspectives of the game. I might actually go back and start playing these games a little bit more, and I think that's the joy of Smash Bros. When Joker first got confirmed, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to pick up Persona 5. And I did. I started to play it. Not totally for me, but it made me pick up a game that I never would have before. And I think that's one of the very nice pleasures of Super Smash Bros. That you get kind of you get an idea of these other characters and fighters from different genres and games that you might not necessarily be affiliated with. So I hope to see more stuff like this coming down the path. I know we all want to see the fan favorites like Crash Bandicoot and Waluigi and stuff like that, but throw in some more obscure third parties. I'd be totally down for it.
Yeah, at this point, I think Mr. Sakurai and Nintendo have more than earned our trust.
Yeah.
He clearly is passionate about what he's doing. They're not phoning this in.
Yeah.
It's not some cheap cash grab. They're committed to making every aspect of this game as refined as they can possibly make it to maximize the experience for all different types of players. To the tune where it's now the top-selling fighting game in the history of the world, which is astounding when you consider how long Street Fighter II has been out there. Street Fighter II has had a two-decade advantage, and it's not like it's some chump game. This game has continued its popularity, and with good reason. It's an amazing fighting game. But for Smash to be able to topple that, it really speaks to the far-reaching genre crossing aspects. Like you said, it's a gateway game.
Yeah.
It exposes you to all these different characters. And I have to say, the SNK stage is probably my favorite stage in the game right now.
I can't wait to try it out. I'm going to try it out tomorrow for sure.
I really liked the boxing ring before, the Little Max boxing ring, and I really liked the Pokemon Stadium. And this is kind of like a combination of those two, where you've got this arena venue and it's on the ground level, and you can't fall off the sides.
Oh, I love that. Unless
you, like, get... It is so awesome. I love that. You can, like, knock somebody through the glass, and every time you do it, it's so satisfying.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, it looked amazing when I was watching it happen.
So I love it. It really puts the emphasis on traditional 2D style fighting, where you can't run, you can't hide. You really have to go head-to-head with your opponent or opponents, and the edges now adds a whole new level.
Yeah,
you're playing by new rules on that stage, and that's fun.
I'll give it a shot, for sure.
I caught all those spirits.
I was going to ask you that next, like how you were doing on the spirits.
I'm almost at 100%, but I missed that Deus Ex, not Deus Ex Machina. What's that called?
Isn't it just Ex Machina? No, not... What is it called? Daemon Ex Machina, isn't it?
Daemon. I confuse it with the phrase Deus Ex Machina, Goddess Machine. Daemon Ex Machina. So there was like a couple week event or week-long event where you could collect four spirits, and I missed those four.
Oh, man.
So I'll have to get them when they come back into the rotation, because so far they've always done that. They'll eventually be available on the spirit board in the shop. So I'm
glad you're so dedicated to that. I haven't touched the spirit board since like the first week the game came out.
It's fun. Like I'm not really one of those collectathon kind of guys. I've never caught them all in Pokemon.
Yeah.
But there's something about like getting all of these spirits that even if it's like just a task and I'm not that particularly invested in having a spirit, I'm excited to do it. It's a reason to go back and have another excuse to play the game.
Yeah. Well, I might give it a shot too. I mean, I just don't have the time. I want to find the time for every game I want to play.
Yeah,
I'm still playing Dragon Quest XI. I'm like 3 to 4 hours away from being done with that game. So it's actually...
I'm still waiting for the Ring Fit update. That was so amazing.
You know, that would be a completely interesting way to play a traditional RPG. It really would be.
Well, they've been adding like Labo VR support into games. I would love for them to retroactively find a way to take like Pokemon or some other game that has really historic turn-based mechanics and then add that ring into it. That would be just so cool.
Make it happen. You never know. So I know we want to talk about Luigi's Mansion. I'm going to use this time real quick to do a quick segue. One of our editors, one of our writers, Logan Plant, he actually did our Dragon Quest XI review. We talked for a bit tonight, just kind of discussing Dragon Quest XI. You and I discussed how amazing like a hero 4-pack would be. And I wasn't really on board until I started playing Dragon Quest XI. The game is absolutely amazing. So we're going to quickly cut over to some initial thoughts on it. So if you're new to Dragon Quest XI, or if you're on the fence about picking that game up, honestly, I'd listen to this because it's absolutely amazing.
Take it away, Logan.
All right, we're going to do something a bit different here on the Nintendo Wirecast. So TJ is going to be stepping away here for just one moment, and we're going to introduce one of the amazing writers at Nintendo Wire, the amazing Logan Plant. He is a super fan of the Dragon Quest series. He's a super fan of many, many series, but we've been discussing Dragon Quest now for some time, and Dragon Quest XI on the Nintendo Switch is just absolutely breathtaking, at least in my opinion. So, Logan, number one, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you finally getting onto the Wirecast. We've wanted to have you on for a bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, schedules have been a bit crazy, I think, for everybody. I know that you're you got a new gig going on, too, which is super exciting. But we're really here to talk about Dragon Quest, specifically Dragon Quest XI on the Nintendo Switch, a game that I didn't think I'd be so excited to talk about. I thought I'd be excited to talk about it at least to a certain extent. But I had no clue just how insanely good Dragon Quest XI was going to be. So I'm going to let you give yourself a quick introduction, then we'll get right into it.
Yeah, so you called me a super fan of the Dragon Quest franchise, and it's interesting. What actually made me a super fan was Dragon Quest XI. I hadn't played any Dragon Quest games until a year ago, and now I have played... 11 is still the only one I've played all the way to completion, sure. But I've dabbled in almost all of the other main titles now. I almost finished Beelverse 2 earlier this year. I'm at the very end of that. But Dragon Quest XI is what kind of got me into this series because I just think it's that fantastic. I got to review it for Nintendo Wire. I gave it a 9.5, I believe. You can good check score. Out that full review on NintendoWire.com. Yeah, great score. I am absolutely in love with this game. I played 80 or so hours on PlayStation 4 last year,
yeah.
And then I got to pick it up on Switch again, and I played about the first 25 hours. I'm still working my way through it, but it's a phenomenal game. It's honestly one of my favorite JRPGs of all time. I think it's only behind Earthbound at this point.
It's weird, too, because I guess you should know this, too. Dragon Quest XI was not my first Dragon Quest game. Dragon Warrior III on the Game Boy Color was technically my first Dragon Quest game, even though it's Dragon Warrior. I played that through to completion when it first came out. I think I was about 13 or 14. It was one of my very first experiences with JRPGs. I fell in love with it. It kind of made me get into the Final Fantasy franchise, oddly enough. So I've been a Final Fantasy fanboy ever since that point. Like, I'm obsessed with Final Fantasy. Which is weird for me because this game, Dragon Quest XI, is either as good, and I'm still pondering this question. It's either as good as my favorite Final Fantasy games or potentially better. The story, the music, the overworld, everything about this game is just kind of a magical RPG experience that I like to have. It's nothing too insane. It's not convoluted. It's a story about a king and a kingdom and a merry band of people trying to save the world. I mean, it's that kind of JRPG. But they do it in a way that it's so full of hearts and just joy that I'm just blown away by it completely. And I think you and I have a duty to anybody listening or watching this to say, if you are a fan of RPGs, even if you're not, give this one a shot. We're going to explain to you in the best ways that we can why you should, because this game deserves to be one of the Nintendo Switch's best sellers. And I really hope it is, because I want to see the Dragon Quest series continue on Nintendo Switch for sure. So, before we get too far into this, I want to give you kind of an opportunity to describe, in a brief sense, the story, the plot, and what makes this game special, at least to you, on the Nintendo Switch.
So, I don't think that there's particularly one element of this game that is, like, absolutely blow you away, best of all time good. It's like, every single element is just so good, just, it refines and brings up to 2018 when it originally came out all of these really old JRPG tropes in a way I haven't really seen before. So this isn't a revolutionary JRPG. It's not like Persona 5, which people think is amazing for how fresh and new it is. Now, this is something, if you like JRPGs, you're really used to seeing this, but the quality of life improvements and the kind of warmth that it just wraps around you throughout the entire experience, you almost feel like the developers want you to have a good time. The developers care about your time and care that it's being spent well in this game. And what I mean by that is it's just honestly feels very caring. It's like the game always catches you up to speed on the plot right when you jump back in. There's always a brief
That's
little
a godsend
catch up.
Too.
Every really game is. Should have that. Every game should. And then you get in, and if you don't know where to go, no matter where you save, there's someone standing right there with a pink bubble over their head who kind of reminds you of where you are, what you're doing, and where you need to go next. It's just, everything is just there for you, there to make it easy for you to immerse yourself in this world and have a good time. So I'll get to the story in a second, but just on a base level, that level of craftsmanship and care is something that I haven't really seen in a game like that in a really long time. And then you mentioned the plot. It is very simple. It's a kind of, in some ways, tropey JRPG. It's like, oh, the hero is, his town turns against him, and he is a castaway as this outlaw, and it's up to him to kind of right the wrongs of the city that betrayed him and to kind of solve this greater evil that's going on. Everybody you encounter is completely loyal to the hero along the entire journey, and more than the story, I just fall in love with the characters and the towns that you go to. The overarching plot is good, but I think what makes it is the smaller stories that you encounter when you go to these other towns. Like you and I were talking before the show, there's one where you encounter a mermaid. You try and reunite her with her lost love, the sailor from a nearby port town. There's another one where you have to enter this fighting tournament. You have to win because the prize is something that you and your party need to advance. And so it's just all these small stories and characters and twists and turns you encounter along the journey that I think is what sets the plot apart.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat on it. Like I said before, I played the demo for Dragon Quest XI, and I was really on the fence about what I thought of it. If you don't know this, the demo for Dragon Quest XI on the eShop is nearly 10 hours long.
Which is incredible.
It's an absolutely insane demo, but it's a fantastic demo too. So if you're on the fence, I highly recommend you pick this demo up. But once you get past the portions that are in the demo, in my opinion, the game gets even better.
I agree.
But there's a couple things about Dragon Quest that you might not know, at least about Dragon Quest XI. Number one, this is not a game where you have to be concerned with random encounters. Everything is essentially encountered on the overworld in the game, which is amazing. I mean, it's one of the things I know that a lot of people, at least that I've talked to, they've said they don't play JRPGs because they hate that mechanic. They hate not being able to decide when they battle, if they want to go do something, and they got to deal with grinding. I mean, you have to grind at certain points in this game if you want to level up. But I'm nearly done with the game. I'm not totally done yet. I'm about, I'm guessing, 4 to 5 hours remaining left into the main story. Okay. And I've never felt this sense of, like, I need to grind for 2 hours. It's never happened. Everything seems to progress in a way where my experience level is sufficient by just playing through the game as you would normally play through the game. One other really interesting thing to point out, too, before we get too far into this as well, is that this game initially came out on the 3DS, which is kind of extraordinary. Obviously, yeah. It wasn't in this, like, grandiose 3D that we see on the Nintendo Switch. But there was this way that you could play on the 3DS that was reminiscent of the original Dragon Quest, this 16-bit 2D RPG. Now, that one was complete with random encounters. That one was very, very similar to what you would expect if this came out, like, on the Super Nintendo. But Dragon Quest XI allows you to swap to that at any point. So if you want to play in 2D with the original, like, 16-bit graphics, you can do that. Go to a save point, and you can play in that mode, too. Which I've never really done. I briefly touched on it, but it's not my favorite thing to do in the game. I prefer the 3D mechanics of the game.
The 3D is just too gorgeous to not play, I think. I think that game is beautiful in the 3D mode.
And the voice acting is so good.
It's really good. Are you playing in English or Japanese?
English, yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm really impressed. There are some questionable accents here and there, but otherwise I think it's really good. I actually have the 3DS version you're talking about right here. I imported it from Japan just to check it out last year.
Yeah.
And that 2D mode you mentioned is really cool. It's incredible that you can choose which way you want to play the game, but it does lead to one of the only real negative points I have about the Switch version is that to switch back and forth between 3D and 2D, you can only do so at chapter checkpoints, and the game doesn't make it super clear where those chapter beginning and endings are. So if you are looking to swap back and forth, If you notice a big story beat that just unfolds, it's probably at the end of a chapter.
Yeah.
So that's a place to go and check. But I really wish that you could seamlessly swap back and forth, because then probably would have checked out the 2D a lot more.
I initially thought that that was the case, where you could just, like, hit a button and go between 2D and 3D. Obviously, that's not the case. But it's still something kind of neat to do. Once I'm done with the main story in 3D, I might just play the entire game again in 2D without just swapping back and forth. I think that's the way you should do it. Like, experience the game more than once, you know, get a different perspective of the game, a different play style. I mean, overall, I just think the idea that we're, you know, given that option in a game that's already so robust, it's just amazing. It's amazing that Square Enix has squeezed so much from a PS4 game into this tiny cart with even more footage and more features, too. It's mind-blowing.
It is remarkable, and the Switch version looks almost just as good as the PS4 version on TV and in docked mode. I think it looks great in both places, so I'm really impressed overall with the port.
Now, I know I saw some, I think it was a Digital Foundry, they did like a graphics comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like looking for things specifically to nitpick about, the game is pretty much identical to the PS4 version, with some very, very minor exceptions. I've never played the PS4 version, and I notice absolutely no issues with this game. The fact that it runs so smoothly in handheld, I've only played this game in handheld, by the way. I've never docked this to my TV yet. I'm more of just a handheld gamer anyway. I'm actually playing this on the Switch Lite, which is even more amazing in my opinion. It just looks phenomenal. So once again, if you are a fan of JRPGs, the Switch is really getting this amazing library of them, but I think this has to be the best one on the console to date. And it's hard to say, too, because, I mean, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy IX, two just absolutely beloved RPGs. So I'm still kind of on the fence about where I place this one, but it's definitely darn near the top.
I think it's the best JRPG on Switch. Yeah. And I've been championing this game for the last year. If you follow me on Twitter, then you've seen that I talk about Dragon Quest all the time. And so I was really kind of nervous for a Switch release to see if it was going to pick up the steam I thought it deserved to.
Yeah.
And it wasn't placing on the charts as high as I felt it should. I did see plenty of people talking about it on Twitter, but I still think more people need to hear about this game.
We have to talk about this too. In Japan, when this game came out, this never came to the US, sadly. They released this, I know Logan, you can't see me at the moment, but they released this ridiculous Dragon Quest slime controller. So this is the Switch version. About a year or 2 years ago, they came out with a version for the PS4. I think they had one on the PS2 back in the day too. So this is not a new design, but if you're looking for like the most ridiculous controller, like there's no way anybody would want to use this for a marathon RPG like session. But it's still kind of cool to have. I bought this because I love the series so far. I think it's just great. And I wanted to kind of add this to my collection. So just kind of a heads up that this does exist. And if you want to play this game like a real man, this is the way you have to do it. For sure.
Yeah, I don't have one of those controllers.
You gotta pick one up. Even though they're sold out nearly everywhere. I can't find another one.
They also made one for the PS4 when that version came out in 2018. Yeah,
it's actually funny. I pre-ordered this thing at E3 of this year, so about 4 months before it came out. So I'm kind of happy I did because this thing seemed to sell out pretty darn quick. But do you have any like final thoughts on Dragon Quest? Anything that you want like the audience to know about your experience with it? Kind of one last like sales pitch for this game.
Yeah, I think that I thought about this game basically the entire last year.
Yeah.
It took me until February to get to the true end game of it and launched in September. So I played it consistently for almost half a year. And I say this in my review, when I'm not playing it, it's one of those games that you think about a lot. You think about, oh, what kind of weapon should I give this character? What secrets did I miss in this town? You reflect on story beats that just happened in a certain chapter of the overall plot. It's just a game that really sticks with you, and I think it's a game that's like almost comfort food too.
Yeah.
Like I live where I go to school, it gets just freezing in the winter. Like it was down to around the negatives last year. And I would just lock myself in on a Saturday afternoon during the winter semester and just play this game for a few hours with a cup of hot cocoa in my pajamas, and it's just the perfect game
that
for that.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it's Dragon Quest is the perfect Saturday afternoon pajama game. It shares a lot in common, I think, with some like Saturday morning cartoons in a sense. Just that really comforting feeling where you know that you're just really enjoying what you're doing right now. You're spending your time well. And I think that everybody should play Dragon Quest XI. Try out that demo. It's 10 hours long. Your save transfers to the main game if you end up buying it. So you won't lose anything if you like the demo and decide to pick up the full version. And just kind of immerse yourself into the world. Don't think of it as this super epic, hardcore Final Fantasy JRPG. Think of it as a slowly paced, really comforting, really warm, wide world that you can kind of just invest 80 hours into. That's how I would describe Dragon Quest. It's a very different type of JRPG. It's unforgivingly traditional in a lot of ways, but at the same time, it brings all of that up to 2018 or 19 with some really nice conveniences that make it really easy to pick up and play.
I do want to point out, too, this game does not take itself too seriously.
No, it doesn't.
So I think the last RPG that I spent a considerable amount of time on, if you don't count Kingdom Hearts, was Final Fantasy XV. Mm-hmm. And near the middle of that game, it just dragged. Like, the story was so, it was so melodramatic. I mean, it was just, it was full of all of this, like, really serious JRPG kind of tropes, where this is the opposite, where it's just, it's so, it's goofy, it's funny, it's silly. It knows that it's goofy and funny and silly. The characters are over the top. It's just, it's a lot of fun. So, like I said, I think it's very weird that I'm saying this, because I'm such a massive Final Fantasy fan.
Yeah.
But if you are a fan of JRPGs in any respect, you owe it to yourself to try this game out. So, Logan, thank you for coming on and describing your thoughts on this game. Obviously, if you want to kind of get a more of an in-depth idea of what this game is like, Logan has an amazing review up on NintendoWire.com right now. I'll have that linked in the description below if you're watching this on YouTube. Otherwise, head to NintendoWire.com and just type in Dragon Quest review. You will find it. It's not going to be too difficult to find. So, Logan, where can we find you, by the way?
You can find me on Twitter at LoganJPlant. I still talk about Dragon Quest a lot there.
There you go. All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you. And one last thing, one more plug for the review. I've written for this site for almost 4 years, and the Dragon Quest XI review is far and away the piece I'm the most proud of that I've ever written for this site. So it would mean a lot to me personally if you went and checked it out and let me know on Twitter what you thought of it.
Rock and roll. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back, TJ. It's good to have you back after that the Logan and Jason segment. It was
good to be back. Hey, that Logan guy, he is one insightful fellow.
He knows what he's doing. He is a big fan of Dragon Quest, and I hope he sold at least a few of you on why the game is so good, because the game, it needs every dollar it can get, because it's that good. It is pure, 100% unadulterated RPG goodness. So if you're on the fence about it, like I said before, pick this one up. It's great. On the same thing, on the same token of pick this one up, we're both playing Luigi's Mansion 3 right now.
Yeah.
Which is...
I am over the dark moon on that game. Oh, it is so good.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. It is the best looking first party Switch game I've seen so far. From a strictly visual standpoint.
Absolutely.
It's almost like playing a Pixar movie. The animations, the facial expressions. There's points when Luigi's freaked out and he's like shaking. But you can still control him when he's shaking. He's like shivering and shaking, and you can kind of make him waddle across the screen. It's all these tiny little nuances with Luigi's personality that blows me away. Everything about this game is great.
I'm with you. What really first caught my attention was the lighting and the playing of the shadows and the ambient occlusion. I could not believe like the lens flares and the reflections. It is on such another level from what you typically expect from games like this that it really caught my attention.
Yeah,
I'm sure that there are other games out there have done really similarly impressive things, but this was the first one where I really took notice. And the shadows are such an important part of setting the tone that it immediately immersed me in the experience of starting to explore through this hotel, which I think was a brilliant way for them to go with this, because it allowed them to get the same cohesive feeling of exploring a unified environment like the first game, but yet you can also have a tremendously varied experience by each floor kind of having a different theme. So you kind of got the best of both worlds between the first and the second game.
That is half the fun of this game, is like what weird thing is going to happen on the next floor. I'm not going to give a lot of this away. I think we'll kind of keep our discussion on like the first two floors that you encounter. But once you start moving up and down this hotel, there's certain things that you would not expect to find in a hotel. I'll give you one example, and this is something that was shown on, you know, the E3 trailers. There is like a medieval times styled, it's not a restaurant, but it's like almost like this amusement park that is
Like an entertainment attraction, right?
For sure. And it's like, that's cool. Medieval castle theme. It is so much fun. And the bosses, the diversity in the bosses is absolutely stellar. There is nothing in this game, with the exception of one portion of it, there's one boss fight that required you to be in water that I just did not care for at all.
That's actually the one I did right before we did this we're doing this podcast.
I did not like that one. But besides that, it's been peachy.
It was a struggle for me, but there are certain like gaming experiences you have that will stick with you forever.
Yeah.
And fighting that water boss that I just did is one I will never lose because I played that with my 4-year-old son.
Yeah.
And I've only played this game co-op. I did one session playing it by myself and I realized this is not for me. I love playing this game with my kids. And my daughter and I have played through the game up to that point. And my son has been asking me to play. He's been playing Dark Moon on the 3DS for the past 2 months in anticipation for this game. So he and I played the game. I was Luigi and he was Guigi. I won't spoil the mechanics of how you play this, but at many points in the game, you need to swap between the what Luigi can do and what Guigi can do if you're playing single player. But if you're playing co-op, both characters can perform the respective roles simultaneously. And so he was Guigi, and he literally was my lifeline. He kept me alive. He did his task. He knew what he needed to do, and I was able to overcome it because he's come into his own as a gamer. And it was such a proud dad moment for me. And he was so proud that I know that this has permanently tattooed my heart with this. I have some of those with my daughter playing Yoshi's Woolly World. But this, I think, is his game, his Yoshi's Woolly World.
I'm in the same boat with my daughter. We're only playing this game as a family. So I'm not going any further in the story unless she's like right next to me. She's playing the game on her own, which is pretty amazing. I kind of sit back and watch her. I watched her take on a boss and beat it, which was, again, a super proud moment. So we can have a kind of, we relate to that. It's just this amazing moment where she gets frustrated and she's like, I can't do this. And then she does it and she gets so excited. It just reminds me of when I was a kid and just kind of went through that stuff too. We've yet to do co-op though. I totally forgot that you can have somebody control Guigi at the same time. So now
it's the superior way to play. It really is. If you can play it with somebody else, sorry about that.
No, you're good. It's better be an important call.
It actually was my alarm.
Oh,
to let me know that it's time to pick the daughter up from school. But my wife's got that today, so
got it.
We're okay. I think that playing this game co-op is, I would go so far as to say that this is the most enjoyable co-op experience that I've had in a game.
Yeah.
Because both characters have different responsibilities and abilities. So you play simultaneously, but there are some tasks that only Guigi can do. There are some tasks only Luigi can do. So it really requires cooperation in a unique way. And it's so clever the way that they've designed it that I can't really imagine it being near as fun when I'm having to divide my task, when I'm dividing Luigi's task between them playing by myself. And because the way that they made it, Guigi, when he loses, he only has like 25. So when he loses it, he just returns back into the poltergust.
So it's perfect for a kid. So
it's perfect.
Never really dies. I have to do this now. So the next time we play.
Yeah, man. That's the way to do it.
So when you guys can both move around at the same time too, right?
Yeah. And Luigi has priority. So unless Guigi goes into one of those pipes and accesses like an underground area that Luigi has no way of getting into, Luigi has the camera priority, so if he's going to advance, it will automatically make Guigi follow him. What it's done for me is make me really wish that Mario Odyssey had a better co-op. I know that you can have somebody else play as Cappy.
Yeah, that's
but
just...
it's not as good.
It's like in Mario Galaxy when one person could like pick up the stars and stuff like that by shaking the Wiimote. I mean, it's co-op, but barely co-op.
Barely. And I really wish that Breath of the Wild had a second player able to assume control of Wolf Link.
Yeah.
That's like such a missed opportunity to me. I wish that they could just go back in, add some code, and let me play with my kids as Wolf Link, Guigi style, where they can follow Link around wherever he goes. And if Link gets too far, he already has that teleportation device that he uses when Link gets too far from him anyway. There's no downside to it.
Yeah.
It's so fun. And the way that they implemented Guiji, it fits into the story, it fits into the game mechanics. It just makes a whole lot of sense. And like you said, Luigi has a whole lot of personality and a whole lot of expression. Guiji's the exact opposite. Yeah. He is just, and by having him like that, and because he's so physically similar to Luigi in appearance, but completely stoic, he's like this gelatin statue that has no emotion at all and occasionally will imitate some of Luigi's behaviors. It's just a ton of fun. And it almost enhances the drama that is Luigi by having him by being able to always compare him to this Guiji.
So now, that's going to be the only way I play now. So thank you for reminding me of that. You know, being the editor-in-chief of a Nintendo publication, you'd think I would have remembered such a major point about a major first-party game, but it slipped my mind completely.
Well, I'll be completely honest. The only reason I knew was because I cut that Custom Conquest episode, and it was I watched it 1,000 times through the footage that I was pouring over.
I can't wait, but I'm having a blast with it. I think if you are on the fence about this game, which I can't imagine too many people are.
If you're a Nintendo fan and you don't like this game, why are you a Nintendo fan? This game this game exudes Nintendo fan qualities.
And I will say this, I've played all three. This is by far the best of the three, in my opinion.
By far the best of the three.
It is just, there's more variety. It's more fun. You can slam ghosts against different objects and break them. I mean, it's a good old-fashioned fun time. So.
And you know what else, dude? I am playing this with a GameCube controller. Thank you, Power A, for giving me this super awesome controller that I get to be able to feel like. Hey, as soon as I held that controller in my hand, I started playing with the Joy-Cons connected. And then I remembered that I had this Power A controller, which I loved playing through Link's Awakening with. And as soon as it was in my hand and I started playing, I'm like, oh, yep, this is right. These controls were designed for this controller.
Yeah.
So
pro controller for me.
It works
still.
Perfect.
All the way. I know we have differences in opinion on that one, but the pro controller has been a godsend for me. I still love it. But
yeah, I'm not going to be a detractor on it. If it's working for you, great. But there was something about using the GameCube controller that felt so right because that was how I experienced Luigi's Mansion for the first time. And that
makes sense.
So many years could have passed, and then I can put that same controller in my hand and play the same game. Well, not really the same game, but a game that immediately evoked all those same emotions that I had the first time I played the game. And now that I'm sharing it with my kids, like on a whole nother level.
You're so sentimental.
You know, I guess it's true.
So we have to commit to this. On the next podcast, I'm guessing we're both going to have this game beat. We're very close, both of us. So we'll have to have kind of like an end game discussion about it. Obviously no spoilers, but I want to get your opinion on your like emotional feelings of the end of the game. So next week, for sure.
Next week.
All right. I think that's all of our topics tonight. Before we head out, TJ, where can we find you?
You're going to find most of my stuff right on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. You could check out the latest episode of Custom Conquest, which is appropriately Luigi's Mansion 3 themed, if you haven't already checked it out. Thank you, Jason. And if you want to keep up with me on Twitter, you can find me at Custom Conquest. I know Jason said at the top of this episode that this isn't going to be the Ring Fit podcast, but I think you can certainly expect at least weekly check-ins. We talked about it a lot this time because this was my first podcast since having played the game. But now that we've gotten all of that introductory stuff out of the way, I'm really interested to see how you continue to progress. And if you want to follow both of our progress with Ring Fit Adventure, there is a Facebook group.
There is.
So how do people find that Facebook group if they're looking for it?
The name of the group is Ring Fit Adventure Club. You know, I should know this. It's my group. It's the Ring Fit Adventure Clubs. So you can find that on Facebook. We have a small community of people who share their progress with the game. There's a community tab that most people are chatting in right now. But it's fun. It really is. So if you are on the fence, and I said this on quite a few games, but if you're on the fence about the game, you want to see how people are progressing, you know, give it give it a join. We'll chat with you about our progress too.
Yeah, check out our progress on the journey, and you know, we are certainly curious to see how the game is impacting you physically.
For sure. And then you can find me at NintendoWire.com. I'm writing there pretty frequently. Obviously on YouTube as well, so YouTube.com/NintendoWire. So I do the Nintendo Wire tab, a series of other videos as well. And then obviously we are on Twitter, all the social media platforms, at Amiibo News, at NinWire. And my personal account is at Amiibo Jason. I'm mostly game collecting, showing off my collection, and talking Ring Fit there. So if you're curious about any of that, you can find me at Amiibo Jason. But there you go. I think that's it for the evening, right? Anything else from YouTube, Jay?
We need to go get our workout on, so we got to call it a night.
I'm actually dreading it tonight. I am pretty tired, but I'm committed to it. I have to finish my day 20.
I believe in you, brother.
Thank you. All right. Until next time, guys. Stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.